This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. وأصلي وسلم على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين. I wanted to talk in this live stream about a topic that's been on my mind for quite some time. And what I mean by quite some time is almost 20 years, meaning every single day and every single night, every morning I wake up with this topic and on my mind, and every single night I sleep with this topic next to me or around me or somewhere nearby me, something I might be thinking about, something I might be humming, and that is the topic of the Arabic language. Okay, I've been consistently connected with this language for definitely well over 20 years now, and at least for the past 18 years it's been a regular connection. And what I mean by that is on a daily basis, either I'm reading something in Arabic or writing something in Arabic or writing poetry, reading poetry, memorizing something, teaching something, or so on and so forth. So this is something that's always with me every single day, and it is one of my majors, meaning the Arabic language. I did some graduate studies and post-secondary studies, a lot of post-secondary studies. All of my post-secondary studies have been through Arabic medium. So definitely this is something that I am regularly engaged in, and that is the Arabic language. I mean, in the past, we had children at a very young age, they would learn the Arabic language from day one. And what I mean by that is they would have these kuttab schools where children would go and they would learn the alphabet, and after they learned the alphabet they would learn grammar, syntax, morphology, and they would keep advancing in it, memorize the Quran also at young ages. And as Ibn Khaldun has it, some of the countries around the Muslim lands would do the Quran first and others would do the Arabic language first as well, right? So this was part and parcel of Muslim culture around the world. But today, as we are faced with many challenges around the Muslim world and within the Ummah at large, we notice that there's a very strong attempt to disconnect the Ummah from the Arabic language. You know, there's a very strong attempt to disconnect the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam from the language which keeps it connected to its religion, right? And when I say it keeps it connected to the religion, this is exactly what Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu had also told us. He said, تَعَلَّمُوا الْعَرَبِيَّةَ فَإِنَّهَا مِن دِينِكُمْ. Learn the Arabic language, for that is definitely from your religion. So learning the Arabic language is something that is part and parcel of our religion, our faith. And what I mean by part and parcel of our faith is, without this, you're not going to actually have the full experience. You're going to be a Muslim, inshallah. You're going to be able to pray, inshallah. You're going to be able to do everything that inshallah will get you to Jannah. But the absolute full experience, to maximize your experience as a Muslim, to when you go for salawat, to actually be able to understand what is being said when the imam is reciting, when you go for Taraweeh during Ramadan, to actually have, you know, the maximum experience within that spiritual environment and atmosphere. In order for you to get all of that, you have to learn the Arabic language. Now, this is just as a regular Muslim. I'm not talking about for a talib ilm or for a student of knowledge, but for a student of knowledge, it becomes even more important. It's actually the crux of his studies. It's the key that will enter him into all of the sciences out there. Imam al-Shatibi, rahimahullah, he once said that it's not appropriate for a person to look into the ulum al-shar'h, the sciences of the Sharia, or for him to speak of these sciences except and until he knows two things, or he has two different things. Now, he mentioned those two things. One of those happens to be the Arabic language. He said, so much so, حتى يكون عربيا أو كالعربي, until he becomes an Arab or like an Arab. And that's similar to what they speak of today when they say that native language skills and next to native language skills. Okay? So you have a person who's a native speaker of the language, born and bred into that language, and then you have a person who's acquired it to an extent that they happen to be a next to native speaker. Now, immediately when we say native and next to native, one may say, SubhanAllah, how is that even possible? Arabic is so difficult, this and that and the other. Now, firstly, Muslims have been doing it for centuries. You know, there are books by the hundreds written in the Arabic language, crisp, clear, absolutely brilliant, from the non-Arab world, which Arabs within their region, they, when they read them, they're also shocked at the brilliance of these works. And they happen to be in Arabic, but from places which are non-Arab places, when you consider the lineage and when we consider the predominant language over the centuries within those regions as well. So this has been taking place throughout the centuries. And the second thing is, there is another important factor, and that is that we experience this today as well within the English language. Most of us happen to have, or a lot of us happen to speak the English language. We weren't born with it, but we know the language. We have near native language skills when we speak the English language. How do we get to that? Well, in the same way you can get to that when it comes to the Arabic language as well, inshallah ta'ala. So let's work hard to try to bring this thaqafa, this culture within ourselves, our families. It's completely doable. I've done it with my children. We don't speak the Arabic language as a first language at home. Obviously, English is the language we speak. But alhamdulillah, I've managed to, by the leave of Allah Rabbul Izzati wa Jalal, teach my children the Arabic language. How? Well, there are tools out there. We're living in a time where there happens to be amazing tools in order for us to acquire any language. A very famous linguist of our times, may Allah preserve him, Dr. Fa Abdul Rahim, every single person who's ever learned the Arabic language as a second language knows about this individual, the Medina, the world famous Medina books, right? There's a video online of him speaking about his experience in acquiring the Arabic language. He wasn't born speaking that language. He was born in India, of course. So he explains all of the hardships that he had to go through in order for him to learn the language. He explained that he couldn't find material to read. He couldn't find material to listen to. So what he had to do was he would go to different embassies in India, and he would go to different, consulates and so on and so forth, and try to collect material that was written in Arabic, newspapers, old magazines, and so on and so forth, so he could just manage to have something to read in Arabic. Today, if you want something to read in Arabic, it's all over the internet. You need to just type a couple of words and you'll get it. You want to hear some Arabic, it's all over the internet. You know, I remember 20 odd years ago when I was trying to look for material in order for me to improve my language, it was very difficult also at that time to find material to be able to learn the Arabic language. You know, just to find a lecture in Arabic, you had to literally purchase them at that time. So you go on, you know, wherever it is, somebody's basement, they've got these cassette recorders where they duplicate cassettes from different shuyukh. You pick those up and you pay them, and it was difficult. Now all you have to do is you need to go online and you can get the Arabic language packaged in all sorts of different ways. I cannot underscore the importance of the Arabic language for students of knowledge. One of the things, and this is something I think I'm revealing for the first time in my life, wallahu a'lam, maybe I revealed it sometime in the past as well, I don't recall. But one of the unique experiences that I had in my life, bihamdillahi ta'ala, was for about a decade, just under 10 years, I spent that much time working as someone who would do a review from a shar'i angle of material. Okay? What does that mean? Written material, audio, video, so on and so forth. So I would review it from a shar'i angle, from an Islamic perspective, to ensure that this happens to be correct and authentic and accurate and so on and so forth. So because of that, I, you know, read and heard, literally heard at least thousands of hours of material, okay, video especially. And And this happens to be video material of people who happen to be lecturers, du'at, and so on and so forth. And through that, I gained a little bit of experience, probably unique in its own right, in terms of what it is that happens to be a pitfall of the modern day da'iyah to Islam. Okay, and I noticed that one of the main pitfalls that is concurrent and that happens to be across the board is the Arabic language, either because the person didn't understand the hadith correctly or the ayah correctly, or he's not able to pronounce a hadith or the ayah or something of that nature, and that's really sad that if this is the state that happens to be of the du'at of the ummah. Now, of course, I'm not saying all of the du'at, but I'm saying over the thousands of hours I spent doing this, I definitely came across ample examples, and I have them off the top of my head. I can give you some as well. In that way. And that's why Imam al-Shafi'i, he used to say that I'm never asked of any issue. I'm never asked of any issue except that I answer that issue based on the principles, qawa'id of an-nahu, of grammar. Okay? So Imam al-Shafi'i is not asked a question of fiqh except that he answers it with one of the principles of nahu. Okay? So what does that mean? That means that normally it is the principles of nahu that he needs to, grammar and language in general, that he needs to employ to be able to deduce a ruling from the book of Allah, Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal, and also from the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that's just, not just Imam al-Shafi'i alone, also a famous linguist by the name of Al-Jarmi, okay? If anyone's heard of Sharh al-Jarmi, so this is that Jarmi. He also said that for almost 30 years of my life, I have been consistently giving fatwa to people based on the book of Sibawayh. Okay? Based on the book of Sibawayh. So, what does that mean? Kitabu Sibawayh. Now, Al-Kitab of Sibawayh is a book that was known as Kitabu Sibawayh. It's a book he's written about 4 volumes long on grammar and Arabic and so on and so forth. So he's saying for almost 30 years I've been spending my life giving fatwa based on this book. What he means by that is that he uses the rules that he's laid down, the grammar rules, the morphological rules, and other rules of such nature, and he employs them in understanding the Quran and Sunnah, and accordingly he gives the fatwa as well. Now it looks like someone's asking, can you recommend some online courses, etc.? Look, there are a lot of sources already. I'm not necessarily here to recommend a specific course. There are a lot of courses. If there's someone listening here who has some access to different courses, you can start putting them in the comment section as well, inshallah, and that will be khair. My point here is that we need to start bringing a revival to this particular culture of the Arabic language within our lives, within our children as well. The children are, if you haven't managed to do it for yourself as of yet, then you should do it for yourself. But as a bare minimum, you can start for your children. There are online courses, you can hire online teachers, at least they can start. You can start by getting them to watch television, if they're going to be watching anyways, in Arabic, okay? So they're going to be watching cartoons anyways, okay? That's not the best way to spend that time, but if they're going to be watching cartoons anyways, then you can always get them to watch Arabic cartoons, okay? Can everybody still hear me? I heard a little bit of a noise. I don't know if my headphones have died. Okay? I think I can still hear. Hello? Can you hear me? Jameel. Okay, so this is pretty much the message that I had for today. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant you the tawfiq to practice and to convey, and try to bring this culture back into the lives of Muslims around the world. I mean, right now, there is almost a concerted effort to try to disconnect the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from this language. We see it around the world. I mean, countries which were predominantly Arab, now you speak to people that are growing up, that are in their teens, in their 20s, and so on and so forth, they cannot speak Arabic properly. You see people who happen to be of Arabic lineage, they cannot write a single sentence accurately. You see people who sometimes, this is people who are educated, we're not talking about people who are uneducated. Why? Because there is a great emphasis on the Arabic language, on other English language, on Mandarin, on all of the other languages. These are also important languages that we do conduct business within these languages, but that also does not mean that we lose focus from the language which unites the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which happens to be the Arabic language. There was a point in time, okay? This is not utopia. I'm telling you of reality. There was a point in time where you could go from one corner of the Muslim world to the other corner of the Muslim world, and everybody would be able to at least communicate. Let me correct myself. Almost everybody would be able to at least communicate in one language, one united language, and that would be the Arabic language. Even people in villages would be able to at least, there would at least be some people who were educated enough to be able to communicate with the outside world within this one unifying language, and that is the Arabic language. And it really, it's not that hard of a language. It looks like an endeavor which is very difficult. We've taught ourselves that the endeavor is that difficult. It really isn't. It just takes a year or two of dedication, and then after that, you're on your way. After that, you continue to improve. Similar to the way some of you may have learned the English language. You may have spent a couple of years in school. You might have acquired it as a second language. You might have listened to television, watched movies, or some other way to improve your listening skills and to improve your speaking skills and so on and so forth. Well, the same thing you need to employ also for this language as well, the Arabic language. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant you the tawfiq to practice, to convey. Just a short message from your brother, Abdul Wahab Salim. Take care of yourself, take care of your children, take care of your progeny by connecting them to the language of the Ummah, the Arabic language. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.